Episode 4.
Number 4.
How about that? Me and Jesse Crow back together again. Man, scrolling Instagram last night, I'm about to blow your mind.
Okay.
So you and I have conversations solely based on movie quotes.
Yes.
Often. We speak movie.
Yep.
All right. I'm not sure that we've ever talked about this movie, so I don't know how it's going to resonate with you. It's not one that I've watched a bunch of times, but I have watched it a few times. Nacho Libre.
Yeah.
You watched it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Did you know it's based on a true story?
Did not know that.
Yes. So I'm scrolling last night, you know, just sitting there watching TV. I'm scrolling and, you know, this Mexican wrestler, you know, he's got the mask. Yeah. The Lucha Libre.
Yeah.
And so I see it and it said something about like this priest that he keeps, you know, this orphanage going. And I was like, that sounds a lot like Nacho Libre. And I look at the thing and it says, based on Nacho Libre. So, yeah. This is what I saw. Film loosely based on the story of Fray Tormenta. And listen to his name. Friar Storm. That was his wrestling name. Real life Mexican Catholic priest, a 23-year career as a masked luchador wrestler to support the orphanage he directed. But anyway, man, you can't get that kind of info just anywhere. So
I did not know that.
Tuning in to Saints and Pioneer, you get your Back to the Future trivia sometimes and Nacho Libre. But anyway, so can I say something?
Yes.
Everywhere I go, I mean, I'll walk down the street and they're like, hey, Mr. Podcast Guy, that intro that you have on Saints and Pioneers, where can I find such a song? Yeah. Has anybody asked you about the song, the opening or closing?
No one.
not one individual.
No one likes me.
Yeah. Well, I have been asked about it. And we've got...
which one of our 255 listeners asked you?
Well... It's 255, but one of those is your mom and my mom. So I don't know that we count those, but yeah, I don't know the exact numbers.
We're pretty desperate at this point. Let's go ahead and count them.
Yeah, yeah, it's growing. The audience is growing each week. But for real, the song is I have been asked about it. The opening and the closing of it. It happens to be written and played by a group that we know very well. Would you care to let us know the title of this song and the artist as you sip on your coffee?
Is there like flavor in this coffee? It's like I had a little sweet kind of...
Yes, that is Yellowhammer Outfitters First Light coffee.
Is it?
Shameless plug.
I've had that before. It tastes kind of like it's got a little cherry... Afterbirth.
Okay, Michael Scott. Very good, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very good. It's good. Always good. I wrote the song. Jesse Crow and the Unrest is my band.
Yes.
And my friend Jared Held, who also plays in the band, wrote the music.
Yeah. So great song. I've gotten to hear it. It is not out yet, though. But it's going to be out soon.
Yeah, so... Actually, just to give you the nitty gritty detail that you may not want to know, but I'm going to tell you anyway, we got the master back yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Chase Delbridge from Tuscaloosa, who's awesome at doing all that stuff, and Andy Green, who we both know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Andy mixed it. Chase.
Shout out, Andy.
Shout out to Andy. Andy Green mixed it. Chase mastered it. And it was actually recorded in Atlanta at. 1971 studio, and it's going to be part of a live recording.
Right,
a lot of people listening actually help support this deal.
Yeah,
so it's going to be part of a four song. We had video cameras in there and all the fancy stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
But 1971 is actually where Maverick City. Mm-hmm. A lot of people know who they are. They recorded a lot of stuff there. Brandon Lake records stuff there. David Crowder, who people all the time say I look like.
Yes.
Which I don't think look like.
Here's my take on it.
Okay.
I have never seen David Crowder and you in the same room before.
Well, there you go.
It's kind of like the old thing about me and Batman.
Yeah.
Never shown up at the same place. So I don't know.
Todd Lyons, who is the, who engineered, we recorded at his place. He owns 1971, and he's a phenomenal dude. And so it's going to be a really cool project. We're going to release a couple of singles, sort of a teaser, and then we're going to release the whole thing later on. But I do not have a date yet. Everybody's asked me that. Like, what's the date? We don't have a date yet because the way things work with platforms, you have to, there's a few steps that you have to take before you can actually get an actual date. But I pledge this, by the next podcast we do, I will have a date and announce, and we'll put it on our socials too, so everybody can see. I'm really excited. The song's called Buffalo.
Yeah.
And I guess we're going to talk about it now.
Well, and here's the special treat for the audience. So it has not been released yet, and you've heard the clip of the opening and closing little instrumental parts of it.
Yep.
But we're actually going to play the entire song for those that are listening.
Yeah.
Get to hear it in advance. So this is your pre-release.
Pre-release.
How about that?
Yeah.
See, you get if you just listen to Saints and Pioneers, man, all kind of.
Yeah, you get a sneak peek at stuff.
Your movie trivia, you know, the occasional mom joke, maybe. I don't know. Stuff like that. But, so we're going to play Buffalo by Jesse Crow and the Unrest. We'll talk about that just a little bit and then get into today's episode. So here it is.
The fool. Long ago on the great plains, as far as the eye could see, there roamed man and beast long before machines. Hell came riding on a wagon train, mad men blowing smoke, hiding tongue, ringing ice payday for them buffalo. From the east they killed the beast, no mercy, they rolled along, yeah. Only greed need to feed the machine. What's done is done, child. Such a crying shame. All that remained were the bones. You see their ghosts when those mountains open wide. Set go for faithful beast with no trace of you inside. Here they come, consumed by an appetite, belly full, still one more. Never enough do we suck it dry, evil to the core. From the east they killed the beast, no mercy, as they rolled along. What's done is done, child. Such crying shame. All that remains were the bones. Yeah. to superior breed. Our wagon train still rolls along with our faces and our screams. Man's machine can never be satisfied. Use it up till it's gone. Teach the child to never be satisfied as the bone get trampled on.
With it. How about that? Buffalo.
Yeah.
So can I geek out here just a second and ask you some questions about the songwriting process?
Since I am
you did that coffee snob eye roll at me. Just a second. Really, when you're writing a song, is it the music that comes first or the lyrics?
That was what was kind of unique about that writing that song is Jared came to practice. He's always working on something, and I love the way he plays. I love the way he puts music together, and he always gives me something good to sort of write a lyric to. And I'd been tinkering with some stuff that he had written already, but that particular tune he came in with, and I already sort of had a lyric in mind, and I record. Like, we have a little setup where we can record things as we get ideas, just a little like GarageBand on computer. And I was like, dang, I need to record that. And so we played it through a little bit. I recorded it, and I went home and I started sort of jotting down different ideas. And it probably took me about a week or maybe 2 weeks. And I came back to practice, and it all started kind of shaping together. Like he had worked more on the music and I'd worked more on the lyrics, and it just sort of came together. But typically I usually have a piece of music first that I'm tinkering with.
Right.
And I just, lyrics is something I walk with God with. Like if I have a tune, I'll always ask, it's just like, God, what do we write about now?
Yeah.
And usually within 24 hours, something will start to come to mind. Mm-hmm. And I can always tell when it's just me and it's not really God, you know? Yeah.
And I can tell too, because I've heard some of those lyrics.
Oh, yeah. They're pretty bad.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. Some of them.
I'm kidding. You're very talented, and I know we joke a lot, but not only my friend, but I think one of the most talented songwriters and definitely worship leaders that I know. Can I tell you the lyric that jumped out at me when I first heard that song?
Yes.
And it's going to go back to a movie.
Okay.
So if you're tired of hearing movie stuff, just go ahead and, you know, don't cut off the podcast, but you know, just maybe send us a message. Hey, don't talk about movies so much. But Hell Came Riding on a Wagon Train. The quote that came to mind is one of my favorite movies, Tombstone.
I knew it.
You tell them I'm coming. Hell's coming with me. I don't know why, but that one took me to that. But
he calls him a curd.
Yeah.
He says, "You run, you curd."
Yeah. Yeah.
What is a curd?
I don't know.
I think he says curd.
What about Huckleberry? There's a lot of debate on that one, too, as far as the meaning of it and all that stuff. But, no, I do love it, and I would encourage our listeners to do this. Jesse will be putting out in the days to come more information about when that's released. But go ahead and follow Jesse Crow and The Unrest on all the platforms where you get your music. That way you're updated as a new release comes out. But excited for that one to come out and add it to my Spotify playlist. But wherever you get your music, be sure and do that. But I do love the start of the song, and it, you know, our whole deal of Saints and Pioneers and that pioneer, it's a very pioneering song. So
yeah.
I found it very, very fitting for ours. But what about What about this lyric here? Long ago on the Great Plains, as far as the eye could see, there roamed man and the beast long before machines. And then it goes into the, but hell came riding on a wagon train, mad men blowing smoke, hides and tongue, bring a nice payday from them buffalo. I just love the whole song, man.
Thank you.
It's a good one. Anyway.
So I had watched a documentary by Ken Burns called...
Of course you did.
Yeah. I love Ken Burns.
Yeah.
I always geek out on Ken Burns. He has a documentary called The American Buffalo. And so give you a little history from the early 1800s to 1890-ish. Mm-hmm. The buffalo herds on the Great Plains went from like 60 million to 1,000.
Wow.
Let that blow your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the documentary is all about just the complete annihilation of buffalo just due to settlers. And we had no conservation laws back then.
Yeah.
People did not understand you can't just kill something and expect, I strongly encourage people to watch the documentary, but I like to write about history. Like if you go through our short little catalog on Spotify or anywhere you get music, you'll see some history stuff flowing through there. This particular song, I felt like it moved me. Mm-hmm. It kind of hurt me a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the fact that not only did they just annihilate these animals, and they didn't even use hard, they used the tongue and the hide. That's what I was saying. The settlers could sell the hide. They were selling the hide and the tongue. Tongue was like this delicacy that you could eat. And they would skin it, and they would leave it on the plains. And one guy even said in this documentary, they had these diaries of these guys that would go out there and hunt them, and he said the smell was just terrible.
Yeah.
It's like there's nowhere you can go. Thousands and thousands of hills of acres. You couldn't go anywhere to escape because it was just dead buffalo that were skinned alive.
Yeah.
Or it's not skinned alive, but skinned and left to rot.
Right.
And, having said all that, the song is more about just consumption, just greed and consumption.
Yeah, it's funny you say that because the lyric here that I wrote down as well, it says, here they come, consumed by an appetite, belly full, still want more, never enough until we suck it dry, evil to the core. And I just wrote down, I said, kind of sounds like our world, today.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's through it. But, on the Ken Burns, I have not watched that one, but have seen, things about the old, West in the pioneering days, and just seeing the pictures of, like, the buffalo just... like mounds of them
out there. Yeah,
in fact we talked Tombstone, but there's another Wide Earp movie that was longer. It was actually called Wide Earp. It was Kevin Costner, and it showed his earlier days, and him and Bat Masterson were actually buffalo hunters, that was part of what they did. But
a lot of people Buffalo Bill actually killed buffalo for the railroad, because the railroad was pushing west and they needed to eat something. All these people out there working. So they hired Buffalo Bill, and he just killed buffalo all day long.
Yeah.
And, like, they skinned them, ate the meat to feed these guys. So it's a tragic story, but the good news is that the buffalo herds have started to come back after the 1900s, thanks to Teddy Roosevelt and some measures that he took. Because he went out there and saw it, and he was like – he was one of the first ones – politically speaking, who said, we have to do something about this. This is going to disappear if we don't do something. And anyway, it's worth a Google. And that's a worth a watch, the Ken Burns. Some people, my wife found it boring.
Yeah, yeah. Jamie typically does on historical stuff with me too. But all right, so we're back here, episode 4. All of that, Nacho Libre, Buffalo, couple little movie things, all that was bonus.
Yep.
Like, it has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, but we just wanted to start out with those things for you. So, on our last podcast, we did a deep dive on Psalm 73. We had our good friend Stephen Shirley, Roger Patterson in with us, and we really saw things change for the psalmist when he gets to this point, it's almost like this complaint. And I'd encourage you, if you haven't listened to episode 3, it's not that you have to, but it might give a little better clarification as far as what's going on today, what we're talking about today. And so in that Psalm 73, the psalmist takes a turn. He's kind of complaining, you know, life's not fair, all this. And then he has the line, but I entered the sanctuary of God, or something to the effect. Yeah, I can't remember how the message said it. Do you remember exactly how it was
written? I know the one of the versions that I read in several different versions.
Yeah.
Just because I just love some of the wordings. And in one of the versions, I think it says it best. It says, until I entered the sanctuary of God.
That's right.
Until. He's building it. I love it. It's just, he's building it up. He starts out, God is good.
Yeah.
I know he is.
Right.
Goes through all this stuff. All these people are being jerks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes, until I entered the sanctuary of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good stuff.
Beautiful turn. And so what Jesse and I talking about this one, we're just like, you know, not going back into that whole psalm again. We did kind of a deep dive last time with the four of us, but getting to that place of until I entered the sanctuary of God, it really, we talked about it the last time, that it was really about this connecting, you know, with God, that that personal connection. And so we thought it would be a good thing to just kind of talk to you, our listeners. Not that we do it perfectly, not that we do it the only way that you can, but talking about how we enter the presence of God, how we daily, you know, connect. And so, thoughts on that, how you, start to have those moments with God, you know, from, if it's the time you wake up or if it's, you know, throughout the day, whatever.
So my time with God has evolved a lot since I became a believer at 7-8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I started sort of digging into my faith at 13-14, really, when I started playing guitar. And my sort of the trail I've walked with God and the trail I've walked with music have kind of been the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as a young kid in my teens, I you know, was taking cues from what I was learning in, you know, youth group and whatnot. You remember the whole quiet time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you grew up in the 90s, you heard that term.
QT.
You remember Back to the Basics?
Back to the
Basics. Did you ever go through that?
I think so.
So that was like a curriculum,
mm-hmm,
that you took. You went on a disciple now,
right?
You know, and you would go through Back to the Basics. I actually taught it.
That's back when DC Talk was.
It was DC
about God
Talk
doing a new thing.
It was, yeah. That little dude. Oh yeah, that's funny.
Yeah,
that clip of that little guy.
Yeah,
and God is doing a new thing.
Yeah, that was rough times in Christian music.
But yeah. It's not a good time. Yeah. But, so yeah, the Back to the Basics thing taught you about your quiet time. You go and you take your Bible and you take a notebook and your study sheet or whatever. And I always hated it because it felt so academic. It felt so school-like.
Yeah.
And I always found myself sort of dumping that and kind of, because I would read a text.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say it would be, you know, something in the book of James. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like this one thing, and they would build a study around it. I'm like, wait a minute, I want to know what the other stuff says.
Yeah.
So I'd find myself reading the whole chapter, and then I would find God sort of speaking through other stuff in the chapter. And the next thing I know, I've dumped that, and I went into, you know, and that's just the way my brain works. And so that's kind of evolved into what.
Yeah. And I think it's good too to preface here. I already said that, you know, whether, you know, if you're a listener and you resonate with, you know, something that's a practice of mine or if it's a practice of Jesse's, we're not saying that's the only way.
Absolutely.
And we're also, and this, I think this was really the heart of why we wanted to do this. Jesse and I both do our best to connect and walk with God. Again, don't always do that perfectly, for sure. but both have similar personalities in some ways, mm-hmm. and then some aspects are not. And so the way we even approach that is different, but the end goal, you know, is the same in that connection with God. And so as you hear that today, don't let it be a prescriptive list of, okay, Keith said he does this, this, and this, so that's what I need to do, or Jesse said these three things. We're just telling you our way that we connect, and hope that if nothing else, even if it's not a way that you connect, it's something that can inspire you to seek out a way to connect with God.
And I think, too, that speaking to that, that's one of the worst things that the church has done to people, mm-hmm. is given this too prescriptive way of how to connect with God.
Yeah.
You know, like, because first of all, you need to start with, like, asking God, how does this time need to look, mm-hmm. you know, which is a scary thing for people to do.
Right.
And if you don't hear God speak, pick a text that you love and read it.
Yeah. I didn't necessarily plan on this, but I think we need to venture off here for a second. Let's talk about hearing from God, like hearing the voice of God, because
we've mentioned that a lot and haven't
So, I mean, that here's our belief on that. And Jesse, if you feel different, I mean, definitely speak in. But we know the typical ways, you know, right? Like the Bible, through a sermon, maybe the Holy Spirit speaks, through a worship song, something like that. But we believe that if you're a believer, you're empowered and have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Mm-hmm. And when we say hearing God speak, it's not necessarily an audible voice, although I'm sure there are some out there that maybe have had some kind of experience. I never have. Mine is normally, you know, just this, you know, almost I would say like an impression on my heart of something, a deep feeling. And most of the time, if you want to test that and say, okay, is that God or is that me? The times that I'm not able to let that feeling go, mm-hmm. like it's just constantly there, not in a bad way, but just constantly there.
Yeah.
There's a little more to it. And so maybe speak on that just a little bit about what does it mean to you to hear God, and how somebody could begin to even practice that doesn't listen for that voice of God.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think what you said, like an impression that you get, sort of a sense, mm-hmm. You know, there is, I'm trying to think of the way to say this. Like, first of all, like there has to be, I think emotions can play into it. Mm-hmm. So people that tend to be very emotional, especially when you're emotional about something, let's say you say your teenage son is acting up and you're mad and you're angry and you're, God, why don't you tell me what to do?
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of times I'm not saying you'll never hear God speak, but those are times where God tends to be kind of silent, mm-hmm. because there's so much emotion and you already have it in your mind of what you want God to say.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you have to give time and space to God, because God speaks to the heart. He does not speak to the mind.
Yeah.
The heart and the there's this inner world that everyone has. There's this inner place. And to tap into that, you have to have this time that we're talking about today.
Right.
You have to have those. That's why, you know, I heard a writer say this, actually, Dallas Willard, in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. Mm-hmm. Dallas is very dry. It's a very hard read for me, because I mean, it's kind of boring.
Right.
But he says in the beginning of the book, he says, everybody wants the life that Jesus has, mm-hmm. had. Mm-hmm. They want the authority and to walk the way he did, and the self-control and the love and all that he had. Mm-hmm. But yet they don't want to employ any of the disciplines that he employed. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
They don't want to spend time every day shutting down, getting silent, getting in the Word, listening, praying, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that to answer the question, I think it's it is a sense. Mm-hmm. And it's, and it comes out of a calmness, stillness.
Right.
And not to say, I mean, there are moments, I think, when God is going to speak to you when things are sort of, you know, when you're excited or you're, mm-hmm. you know, when he needs to, right. you know, per se. But I do think it's definitely like this sense, like, I mean, you'll know it, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, I really feel like we need to do this. I really feel, you remember the lady in St. Augustine?
Yes.
That's one of the classic moments for me.
Yeah.
When God speaks and we're walking along.
Is her name Mary?
Her name was Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought I remembered that.
Me and you and Bill were walking, mm-hmm. and I mean, it was out of nowhere, but I can remember how my heart and my mind were feeling then. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was with you, I was with Uncle Bill, mm-hmm. two of my favorite people on the planet, mm-hmm. and we're having fun. I was relaxed. We were sharing stories about what God was doing. You know, he was doing he does a church like we do outside right. with homeless folks in Jacksonville, Florida. And we, you know, we're just sharing stories about that. And we're walking down, and God just,
yeah.
I mean, I saw this lady named Mary, mm-hmm. and I just remember that moment, and I knew in my heart, it's like, go talk to her.
Am I making this up? Was she missing a leg?
She was missing a leg.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we ended up having this great conversation. And I remember Bill, after it was over with, he said, dude, I looked at you and I knew something was going on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but that's not going to happen to everybody, obviously. But there's those wonderful little interruptions where I didn't hear God say, "Go talk to Mary." I felt a sense, something in me that I knew. Mm-hmm. I just knew it was like, you know, you get up in the morning and you know you have to go take your kids to school, and you know you have to go do this, or you know. You smell something burning in the oven, you know you need to go turn the oven off.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like those senses, God speaks that way, I think. Mm-hmm. Like there's this, but it's all inward. It's this inward place in the heart. I don't know if I'm making any sense.
No, 100%. Well, and I think too, if you're listening and you're like, well, I just think God said all he needed to say in the Bible. I will add this. God still speaks. I mean, that was a historical account to bring us into relationship with God through Jesus. I mean, that is the message of the Bible. But it's not like God stopped speaking, you know, at the end of our Bible. And from the fact that one of the things I would say on that if you're in that camp and you're feeling that right now, I will tell you this. I do believe that it is a place that when God speaks, he's not going to contradict his word.
No,
like he's not going to tell you something outside of what he's already spoken, contradict that. So.
Can I recommend a book now?
Yeah.
There is a book that was very, very helpful to me on spiritual direction, hearing God speak, by our friend John Eldridge, a book called Walking with God.
Yeah, very good one.
Have you remember that one?
Yeah.
It's so, awesome. And to say to your point, you know, I've heard people say that, and I'm like, I was kind of bracing myself when I really was getting into this kind of life, like actually hearing God speak to me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, are you sure he won't contradict his word? And I can tell you 20 years into this, and he just doesn't do that, you know? And so that's one of those things where, you know, when if there are people out there who are saying something, it's like, yeah, but I'm reading in the word that it's not that way. Mm-hmm. Be leery of that, because that is true. I don't think God does contradict the written word, and he hasn't with me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Well, and two, I think there's this, John, you mentioned John. John has a beautiful practice for people beginning to experiment with being better listeners. You know, we're great at talking to God.
Right.
I think everybody, you know, and we can get to that vending machine type prayer, you know, where we're sending all our requests. But listening to God is a different thing. And I think it is that call in scripture to be still. We mentioned that last week as well. But a great practice to even, you know, if you're listening to this, if you're riding in your car, you know, listen to this later at your house, wherever you're at right now. To think about it in the terms of how do I even begin to practice hearing the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it might seem and feel overwhelming. And John suggests, and I think it's a wonderful suggestion I've passed on to others as well, to practice with questions you already know the answer to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, as an example, God, do you love me?
Mm.
Well, I mean, we know he sent his son Jesus, right? Like, there's no greater love than if someone lays down their life for a friend. And so, the answer to that is obviously going to be yes. God, do you want me to love my wife well? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an easy, obvious yes question, right? All of these things that you already know the answer to, you could go crazy with the no questions that you know the answer to. And as you begin to hear that, you start to practice and learn to hear that sense that you're talking about within your spirit. Mm-hmm. Again, I have no experience with God speaking audibly. I can't say that he hasn't used others, mm-hmm. To speak audibly with something that I needed to hear.
Yeah.
But it definitely, I'm on the same page with that. It's definitely more of a sense or a compelling type feeling.
Can I tell a quick story about that?
Yeah.
So after the last podcast, I went home. Let's see, what was it? When did we do that? Thursday? Yeah, it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. So Friday or Saturday. It was Saturday. For all day Friday and Saturday, whenever I do these kinds of things, podcasts, or I play a gig somewhere or something, if I feel like I don't do well, it sits with me. I can't get rid of it. And that podcast was fun and I enjoyed it, but I told y'all, like, I didn't feel like I gave Stephen enough time to talk, and I didn't feel like I responded well to some of the things, and it really stuck with me. And so, I kind of got by myself. I'd say it really bothered me. Whenever I'd get alone, I'd get quiet, I'd start thinking about it. So Saturday evening, I'd been working on the house and stuff, and I'd come in, I was dirty and taking a shower and everything, and I'm praying, and I said, God, we're going to get into this in a minute, but I was like, God, I give you everyone and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept praying that. And then I was like, I call God Abba. That's just what I do. And it's like, Abba, I just give you this feeling of feeling inadequate, unworthy, or whatever. And I'm going to give a shout out to a guy named Buddy Favor that is from Florida. Right after that, now this is God speaking through somebody. I had just sat down after praying that. And Buddy sends me this. He says, Jesse Crow has a ring to it. He's just random. And I just was like, okay. He'll text me randomly. And then he says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Mm.
And it was like, when I heard that text, I felt that sense in me that God was like, no matter how bad you think you do, you're my son, and I'm using you in the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful.
You know what I mean? Like, it just completely brought me back, and it was one of those moments. And I think that's the life that God wants for us.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want, and John says in that book, Walking with God, he says, if God doesn't speak like that, then the Bible is a book of exceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I mean, I think there's times like that where God speaks that way.
Yeah.
And it's such a rescue.
Oh, yeah.
And, I know we're going to get into some of the practical, like, dialing in. But,
better than most, the season that I just came out of. And I'll say this. Here's another way I've seen it recently. My sister Shay, and you know how special she is to me. I am walking into, we were driving into the parking lot of the oncologist, when they put me with this. And in fact, a weird little segue, I knew I had cancer, had already wrapped my mind around all that. When they told me to go through the door that said oncology, it freaked me out. Like, it just did something to my heart.
Oh, yeah.
So here's where God used her in that moment. We're pulling up. She knew the time of the appointment, was texting, like, hey, I'm praying for you. This is when I'm going to have another scan to make sure that was all we were dealing with. pull into the parking lot, and she says, God is going to give you a word today.
Hmm.
So to me, and I haven't asked her all the details, I mean, there was a lot going on that moment, but to me, it's like God impressed on her heart, I'm going to speak to him.
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And so she prepares me in the sense of be listening. Do you know, as soon as she texted me that, God gave me a word?
What?
But here's the crazy part. All right. So it was one word, and the word was victorious. But it didn't bring me encouragement, because I thought about it. At first it did. I was like, man, we're going to beat this. I said, hold up a minute. I was like, God, is this like victorious, like standing in front of you tomorrow? Like, because I'm not ready for that victorious yet.
Right.
Like, I would love to say, you know, my faith, like Paul is, you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Like, just give me Christ. I want to keep living. You know, I'm not ready just yet. But even someone like that speaking into an impression they had that, hey, God's not leaving you hanging. He's listening. He's on watch. Be listening for him.
Well, you know what's interesting about that right there is what I said a minute ago when I said, you know, sometimes you're amped up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just telling you, it's hard to hear God.
Yeah.
When you're that way, when you're emotionally just revved up and you're pissed off and you're just, you know, or not necessarily pissed off, but you're upset, you know?
Yeah.
Because usually when you're upset, fear, worry, anxiety are all faithless things going on in your brain. And, you know, the heart wants to trust. The heart wants to have faith. The heart. And when you're doing that, you're sort of stifling the heart. And you're letting all these other voices of fear, of anxiety, of all that's kind of. But what's beautiful about that moment you just described, and that shows the tender care of God, that he's like, look, Keith's not in a place right now where he's able to hear my voice. Mm-hmm. But Shay is.
Yeah.
And that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that shows the.
Well, it's beautiful, like the picture of the body. I mean, you know, that's my physical sister, but also sister in Christ. And it's just beauty of the body. And so I would say, even from that God oftentimes when he speaks, it's not just for you. He may be sharing a word, you know, for someone else. And I've always said this, you know, I know the old I have a different approach than maybe what I used to about sharing, you know, air quotes here, sharing my faith.
Yeah.
There are times when I felt God impressed to share more about my relationship with God with someone. Most of the time I feel like that comes with some kind of expression of love to that person, much like what we do at Southside. And, you know, when you offer a hungry person a plate of food, a lot of times you don't have to go, well, here's why. Why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like the story in the Bible of the jailer. It's like, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Like, you got it. Like, whatever this is, I want it. You know,
right.
kind of thing. But I've always kind of taken the approach over the last decade or so that if God is impressing on my heart to share with somebody, he's preparing their heart to receive it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever way, I mean, the results are not up to you, but whatever way that they need to hear that, they're going to hear it.
Yeah.
And so listening to that voice of God is not just for us, but it's, you know, to do other things that he's calling us to do in those moments as well. You have a thought?
Well, I was just going to say, like, you know, it all this to say, listening to God is something you have to practice.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. I know I know that sounds like, what are you conjuring up something or something? That's what I always thought when I heard people's teaching this way. I said, well, it's something you have to, but it's an act of listening that you have to practice.
Yeah.
And you may not get it the first time. You might.
Yeah.
But there's just a place emotionally and spiritually that you have to get to that you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as hard as you would think.
Right.
Where the voice of God becomes more, I don't say constant, but like more frequent, you know.
Definitely more recognizable too. And I would say too that before we get into like the daily routines part, because that's what we wanted to talk about, the how we enter into the presence of God, you know, at various times in our day. But what isn't it a pretty good trick of the enemy that if what we're saying is true, and we believe it is, you know, out there as you pray and you think about this, or maybe you're saying amen, you know, along with us. But if we believe that it is truth that God still speaks, for all the other voices, you know, just from media, just from social media, just from the news, just from life in general, just, you know, beating you down sometimes. And it's like constant. You never can get a moment. And a lot of times, you know, I have no problem admitting this, a lot of times when I get alone by myself, you know, I don't even want to take the time to listen for God. Like, I just want to, like, just a break, like, from all the noise that life brings. And so it really is a dedication. It is a practice that we have to calm our minds, block out everything else, and listen.
Yeah.
You know, be still and know that He is God.
I'll tell you, I have learned, I have been more convinced about obviously the existence of God, but the fact that God wants to interact with me and with His people. I've been more convinced of that just seeing the work of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are days where I'm just like, what the hell is going on with me?
No.
And it's not me. It's not Jesse. It's something else just hammering me. And I have to go, I have to sort of step back, get alone for a minute.
Yeah.
And it's that's the thing. Like, the enemy does not want you listening for God.
No. Yeah.
I mean, he does not want that. I mean, it's.
Well, there's power there.
I mean,
I mean, it could literally be the thing that you, as you're listening, it could be the thing you've been waiting on that changes your life forever.
Right.
And the enemy knows that you're dangerous for good when you listen to God.
Yeah.
And follow, you know, what He's called to do. Well, kind of walk us through, like, if you've got, and I know every day is not always the same, you know, you don't want to get caught up in, you know, a ritualistic part of it, but some listening, like I'm kind of more on the thing where that organization helps me.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how our different approaches, I know what some of your ours and stuff, but, just tell our audience, like, what's a day look like as far as connecting with God, like from the time you get up to, you know, throughout your day.
So my process, and it does ebb and flow. I'll give you my morning routine. I get up, I get the kids ready for school, and I take them to school because my wife, her job, she has to be there early.
Mm-hmm.
So she leaves as they're getting up. So during the school time, I have to get them and take them to school. And then I come back home and I have about an hour or more. The flexibility of my job, I don't necessarily have to be at work at a certain time as long as I, you know, get all my stuff done.
Right.
So I take the kids to school and I come back. And but I will say this, when I roll over, like getting out of bed, like groggy, like don't want to get up, the first thing I do is I say, I give you everyone and everything. Well, that's a prayer that you and I, you know, again, shout out to our buddy John for teaching us that. But I give you everyone and everything. And I pray that over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a point. I don't pray it over and over because God's hard of hearing.
Yeah.
I pray it over and over because every time I pray that prayer,
my
heart loosens just a little bit more.
Yeah.
My mental capacity begins to relax just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. And then I'm ready to put my feet on the ground and get my day going. I take my kids to school. I come back. And then it fluctuates for me. Sometimes I feel the need to worship. I turn on some music. Some of our favorites, Brandon Lake, Corey Asbury, Rita Springer, different people like that. It can't be just anything because I'll be honest with you, worship music annoys the hell out of me sometimes because it's some of it's kind of dumb. But I turn on some of those that you know you that you just feel you know you can you know, and I sort of start to align my thoughts, my mind, and then I usually have some time of silence, you know, and again like centering prayer. That what we said, I give you everyone and everything, that's an example of centering prayer. You're getting your mind and you're releasing the tension, the worry, the stress. And then if I've really got something that won't let go, I will start naming things. I give you the bill I can't pay. I give you this trip coming up. I give you this, give you that. And so I start to process through those things. And then I always try and give God opportunity to talk, just being silent, being quiet. There's scripture in there, reading in there. I typically grab onto something scripture-wise, and I stay on it a long time. That's just the way my brain works. I don't like reading a lot of information because I struggle with that.
Right.
But yeah, it's but it can. Some days I don't do music. Some days I just feel like I need to come right in and sit down and just breathe. Mm-hmm. Breathing's a big thing for me. Like that, you know, in the Marines, they teach this thing called combat breathing. Mm-hmm. So when you're in the thick of war, they teach you to stop, take a deep breath in, and release, and it reorients your body. So I do. Sometimes I come in, I sit down, I do a lot of that. Like I'll just breathe and I kind of visualize. I'm breathing in the Spirit of God and I'm releasing everything else as I breathe out. And I just do that for a while. And it's aligning your body and your mind and your spirit and your soul and everything with God. But that's kind of my process. Again, it sort of changes. It's not like I start with this thing and then this, you know, some days I'll start with the last thing I do and some days I'll start with the first, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's kind of my process.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and we talked about our personalities are different. Mine is much more kind of a structured, typically the same, you know, it can change, you know, based on season of life, whatever's going on. But it's funny. Especially, and I've prayed this prayer before, but it's funny. I don't think you and I've ever talked about that's when you pray that prayer is like when you wake up. But especially post cancer, I don't think there's been a day that I haven't woke up and just said thank you, Jesus. You know, just thank you for today. Like you know, before my feet hit the floor, and that's you know, what a beautiful place to start. Like it's been beautiful for me. I'm not saying that's a beautiful example of me. In fact, I think I ripped that off of maybe John, you know, spoke of that as well. But just that first waking moment is thank you, Jesus. You know, just thank you. Thank you for this day. And then I would say step two, without a doubt, this one's always going to be is coffee. I know if you're out there and you say, man, that has nothing to do with connecting with Jesus. To me, it really does help me. I don't know, like, you know this, you make fun of me for it, but I'm very caffeine sensitive. Like I can't have it like after like 2 o'clock in the afternoon as you sit here and drink a delicious cup of coffee that smells good. But even at, we used to do like small groups and stuff, Bible studies, a lot of times at our house that we would host, I would always like run a decaf, like cup of coffee, just cause it just felt right. Like opening the word, you know, just that time. You mentioned the prayer. I actually use it guided by the app daily, that pause app that is from John Eldridge and Wild at Heart.
And that's a good thing for people to get.
Yeah, we can absolutely say that. Yeah. And I was going to say that I'm going to mention several things that I use that I'll put notes in the show notes on, links to you have that. I recently, and this will tell you how consistent my Bible study is. Sometimes I recently just went through an app that is Read the Bible in a Year, and I completed it in 2 years. Because it took me a little longer, you know, it'd be streaks where I would, you know, be pretty into it. wasn't that I wasn't doing other things, you know, in those times, and try to be consistent, you know, with my connection with God. But, you know, it may be a shorter devotion or something like that. But that was actually an app called Read Scripture, and it's by the Bible Project. Phenomenal.
Good dudes.
Yeah, and it throughout the thing, you would come to a new book or maybe even a new portion of a longer book, and it would have an illustrated video.
I love those.
Yeah, cartoons, you know, speak to me. I mean, that was easy for me to get, but very deep in those, and very, but also very simple, like very, you know, explaining what's going on in the passage that you're about to read. Here's what's happening in that time frame.
Yeah.
So very, very good app. It's free. Currently, I'm doing Lectio 365. It has a morning and evening portion. I'll be honest, I'm not real good at doing the evening ones, but I've been doing the morning ones, and it's always, you know, just a guided random devotion, you know, no set series of passage or whatever. Probably my number one thing that I do that really helps and just works with my personality, the way I connect with God. In fact, I'm looking, there's a couple here, in the room that we're in right now, but, Daily Kairos is a journal, that I use, and it's a guided journal, but it's the same pages every day, basically same questions that it asks you, but it's just, a good way to go. Also in a sentimental way, you know, one day, you know, we'll leave those for my kids that they can go. And, you know, obviously the cancer story was in there, pretty heavy on the last couple of journals. But, you know, finding out about Morgan being pregnant. And by the way, I can say the name now. It's Ellie. Our little granddaughter is Ellie.
That's awesome.
I've known that for a while, but the kids
haven't
been.
Can't believe you're going to be a granddad.
Yeah.
It's big crazy. Papa.
But, you know, writing things like that one day, you know, when I'm dead and gone, they can go back and look over. But then, you know, that's kind of the morning routine. I've had a pretty good, you know, the Pause app keeps up with your streak, and I've had some good time of that. But it's not even the things that you do. It's not the what or the how. It's the why, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we're doing it, is to connect with God. And so you can see, even just from our two and then the people listening, I'm sure everybody's way they connect with God is different, but that is the goal, right? Mm. To connect with God. Explain this on the prayer of the Everys. You know, I give everyone and everything to you. You've been great championing this for me, is reminding me, like, hey, don't get just caught up in doing that app, you know, in the morning. You know, that throughout your day, you know, that needs to be a prayer. Explain, you know, your heart, the importance of praying that prayer maybe multiple times a day throughout your day, of giving everyone and everything to God.
Well, so as we walk through our world, whatever that looks like, and that's different for some people. You know, if you're a police officer, you're going to see a lot of gnarly things, mm-hmm. right? Or if you're a EMT or a doctor or whatever, if you're a teacher, you're going to see a lot of, you see a lot as a teacher. I'm sure I work at a school. So, you know, you're going to see a lot of nonsense with that. If you're a stay at home mom, you're going to struggle with, a lot of, I can imagine, I'm not a stay at home mom. So whatever that struggle looks like, whether it, you feel, you know, struggling with self-worth or whatever, or what you do matters, whether or not what you do matters or whatever. So there are things that hit us, and we're not going to blame it all on the devil. We're not going to say there's demons on every corner.
Yeah.
But there are things that hit us that can knock us off our game, knock us mentally into a place of uncertainty, hopelessness, doubt, all these different things. And so that prayer, and again, like, you know, it's not just in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just when I sit down with my coffee.
Right.
It can be several times a day.
Mm-hmm.
some days that's all I think about. That's all I pray, because I've got so much coming at me with mm-hmm. stuff. And I know you've been that way as well. That prayer is a reorienting prayer for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
It's a recentering prayer. It's a bringing everything back under the authority of the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Because the enemy's going to go, God loves you and he cares about you, but he don't give a damn about this over here.
Mm-hmm.
He don't care about that you're about to lose your car if you don't pay that payment.
Right.
You're going to have to deal with that yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, the enemy's going to hit you with those things.
That's not a big enough issue for God.
It's right. Yeah. My thing is, the enemy will hit me with, those are details. God don't care about details. Mm. He cares about your salvation and about, you know, eternity and the big stuff.
Right.
But don't mention that stuff.
Yeah.
That's that voice in my, it's not like this, you know, evil. It's like Toby from The Office. It's like, don't talk.
Yeah. And what you got to do to that old devil Toby, you just got to push that tray just ever so slowly off that table. If you're an Office fan, you get it. If not, then you should be.
Besides the one where he goes, oh my God. You know, he sees him.
No.
When he walks around the corner and Toby's wearing that bow tie.
Yeah.
You remember that? He says, oh my God. This is why people are leaving.
Yeah.
Right here.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah.
It was the Finer Things Club.
Finer Things Club that Andy wasn't invited to.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like those little things that hit you. It's like, no, you got to deal with it. This is under your authority. Mm-hmm. You got to deal with this.
Yeah.
So I have learned through that prayer to bring that back. No, God cares about that. If he's a good father, if he's the good shepherd,
mm-hmm.
you know, Psalms 23, if he's those things... If he's the God of Matthew 6 that says that, look at the birds of the air, look at the flowers of the field, they don't worry. Mm-hmm. They don't worry about that car payment. They don't worry about that gas bill you can't pay. They don't worry about the kids are going to need school clothes. It's, you know, the end of July. You know what I mean? Like, that hits us every year. It's like, oh, crap, we got to go, you know, buy them clothes or whatever. And it's like, go get, you know, that prayer brings it back and goes, mm-hmm. no. God's going to make a way. Like, I'm bringing that under the authority of the kingdom of God.
Well, and I don't know about you, but when I do remember to do that throughout my day, or I catch myself in that moment of taking that back on myself, I kind of have that feeling. Not necessarily, I don't have a lot of guilt because I believe Christ has covered, you know, that.
Yep.
But at the, I mean, he's covered all my guilt, but I'm saying a guilty feeling. But when I do have that thought again, it's like, God, I did kind of give that to you this morning and now I'm holding it mm-hmm. back again, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
Well, I would say like a good theme of this, and we said it in the trailer of this podcast, we've said it multiple times, I think in other episodes, that it is far more about relationship over religion.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
And so, whatever way you choose to connect with God, I would just encourage, go the relational route and not the religion route.
Yeah.
And I have a beautiful segue. I want to share a scripture before we close today.
Okay.
Because this was from my devotion this morning. So had I not done it, I wouldn't have had this. But
right on.
It's from The Message that we love, and it does talk about religion over relationship. So it's from Zechariah 7, 4 through 10. And it says this, God of the angel armies gave me this message for them, for all the people and for the priest. When you held days of fasting every fifth and seventh month, all these 70 years, were you doing it for me? And when you held feast, was that for me? Hardly. You're interested in religion. I'm interested in people.
Mm.
There's nothing new to say on the subject. Don't you still have the message of the earlier prophets from the time when Jerusalem was still a thriving, bustling city in the outlying countryside? The message that God gave Zechariah, well, the message hasn't changed. God of the angel army said then and says now, treat one another justly, love your neighbors, be compassionate with each other. Don't take advantage of widows, orphans, visitors, and the poor. Don't plot and scheme against one another. That's evil. And as I was reading that this morning, and I was thinking about the podcast, I was thinking, you know, why do we even do this thing? It's really that connection with God, but it's not just to stay there, right? It's like to share with other people, mm-hmm. but that's got to be from a relational point and not just religion. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but if you're just doing, I'm not saying stop, because I still believe God's word can speak and even, you know, speak to a hard heart in a moment like this, but you're just missing so much if you're doing it just to check off the box.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's essential. It's yeah. essential that we walk with him. This world is just far too difficult to navigate on our own.
Yeah.
Made for that relationship.
Man, I would say too, I would add, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to walk with God, that are trying to understand, that are struggling to invite God into their world, that are carrying a lot of stuff on their own. And I would say, don't give up on that.
Yeah.
I think of Brandon Lake's song, yeah. Don't Give Up On Me.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a beautiful.
Yeah.
He, you know, that first lyric where he says, I see you, child, even though you can't see me.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I heard every last prayer you prayed.
Yeah.
And I answered all the time, but you just didn't hear my reply.
Mm.
That's such a beautiful picture
yeah.
of the way God is trying to interact. He's trying. I mean, just think of it. He's trying to break through into your world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that. I see it in people, and we can be so stubborn, you know, and religious. You know, that religious spirit that has invaded the church. You know, it's like, as long as I do these things,
yeah,
everything will be fine, and then till it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually need Jesus.
Yeah.
What a beautiful thing to get to a place where you actually need him. That's just, that would be my prayer for everybody that listens. It's like, drop the religious bullshit and get to a place where you actually need him. That's just such a beautiful, beautiful place.
It's the only thing that'll last too.
And that's what, it's the only thing that'll last. I love our community, because that's what's held us together. Because we have encountered a God that we actually need.
Mm-hmm.
That we can't survive. We know it's like, I've walked with him too long. I can't do it any other way now. Yeah. You know, like yeah. I've seen too much. It's like when he asked the disciples, he said, what are people saying about me? Imagine the creator of the world caring what people thought about him, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're saying, well, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're these people that come back from the dead. And Jesus says, but what do you say?
Yeah,
and they said, we know you're the Son of God. Like, you have the words of life. Mm. It's like, man, that can be true for us. We can live that way. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Well, I would close with this. I think everyone that is listening to this, whether you're a part of that 255 or the growing number, and we just threw that number out. We don't really know how many are listening, but I will say this. I believe everyone listening, God wants to speak to you.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I want to close with a question my good friend Jesse Crow asks people a lot of times. I've heard him say it at our church. I've heard him say it to a one-on-one conversations. I've been in prison with him. We were there for ministry, right? Not locked up, but we were there for ministry. I've heard him say it there. But to look at someone intently and ask, do you know how important you are to God?
Hmm.
And I would love to ask you that. I wished it was where I could sit down with everybody that's listening and have that conversation 101. But for now, I just want to ask that again. Do you know, the listener right now, your name? Maybe even it helps to say your name out loud and just ask God this.
Hmm.
Do you know how important you are to him? He wants to connect with you. And that's not in a religious, did you do your devotional kind of way. Like, he wants intimacy with you. He wants to go back to the garden.
Mm.
It's what he's always wanted, but free will gave us our own choice, and we chose our own way. But there's a way back. There's a way back to that intimacy, and it's all connection with God. You cannot manufacture it through your church, through any devotional book, any certain prayer, an app, or any journal, any of the stuff we've talked about is connection with the living God. Mm. And so that's our prayer for you, the listener. It's our prayer that we continue to seek that. And man, we just thank you for listening along this week. Again, I want to encourage you just to go and follow Jesse Crow and The Unrest on every music platform where you grab your music from. Stay tuned, follow them on all their socials, and they'll put out when that new release is coming out of not just Buffalo, but the other songs as well. So stay tuned for that. And man, there it is, episode 4 in the books.
There it is.
Been good. Thank you guys for being a part. We'll see you next time.